Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress. PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Blah, 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 blah.
Paul Perillo.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Fred Kirsch.
Our show should make cots bigger.
Paul Perillo.
Fred, you don't even believe your own crap now. You don't.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Check it out.
Paul Perillo.
I resign.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
PFW in Progress at its worst.
Woo!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. New open.
Yeah,
good.
This is just a special one for the two of you.
That's an appropriate one too. We obviously.
Yeah, I like that. So as Doc has already said, it's just me and Paul.
Now, were you Oscar or Felix? Because I think.
Oh, I was Oscar.
I think we're both Oscar. Though.
Yeah, we're both Oscar.
That's the problem.
You're very neat, though.
I am.
You're a sports writer. Are you kidding?
Have you seen your office
compared to mine?
Good point. Compared to yours, I'm neat.
Right. I will say, as I'm pulling the theme song to The Odd Couple, watching the guys, one of them hurdle over a net on a tennis court and the other one kind of stop and gingerly climb over. I definitely thought of the both of you.
We're both Oscar, right?
No, but I mean, I think you're neat because I know I'm a slob.
I know, I am pretty cool.
You're very neat. And the fact that you don't think your office is neat tells me that you have higher standards than I do when it comes to
sweet.
Neat. Anyway, Eric and Andy are at the combine. Hopefully,
and I know you probably haven't had any time to do anything other than the coach's clinic, but they are blogging like crazy.
Well, that's good. Anything good yet?
Yeah, they talked to Schwartzy a little bit.
Yeah,
talked to him about the lack of coordinators because Schwartz was part of those Cleveland staffs where Bill sort of handled a lot of things, and he didn't exactly say it was the ideal situation, but he's like a lot of us gonna err on the side of Bill.
Yep.
And understanding that Bill, stresses the importance of, as the head coach, of just being completely in charge of your entire operation. You know, all the coaches' jobs, specifically streamlining what guys need to do. And Schwartzy said, listen, you know, this is what Bill does better than anybody. So to critique him is rather difficult.
Well, that's good. So, I haven't, like you said, I haven't been able to read what they've been posting. But I know there's a lot of stuff going on. I know they were there last night when Robert Kraft talked to the media a little bit. They had that post earlier today.
Yeah, that post was up there, and I'm sure that everybody is aware of those comments by now. Robert said that characterized the Will Fork situation as being he thinks they're close.
Yep.
Still very optimistic that that's going to get done. And we should point out, I know our listeners are already on top of the game with this stuff, but a very big contract, in my opinion, Fred, got agreed to with regard to Vince Will Fork. Pittsburgh signed Casey Hampton to a 3-year deal. 3-year, $21 million, 11 guaranteed. That's well below market value. That's a very, very good deal
for the Patriots.
That's a very good sign for the Patriots.
Yeah, that really is. $11 million guaranteed. Wow.
Yeah. So that's, you're talking about well below what the Patriots have already offered. Yeah. Now, Will Fork is younger than Hampton. He's been much more durable than Hampton, but still, that's a comp.
Yeah.
It may not be a high-end comp, but that's a comp. A lot of people thought he was going to get franchised.
And the fact is that, you know, I know the term is longer, but the Patriots have already offered twice as much in guarantees. So So we'll see. Maybe they'll come around because of that. Who knows? Interesting. So lots going on. A lot went on yesterday. Obviously, you want to start off with the sad news of Mosey Tatupu passing, 54 years old. Still don't know the cause.
Ridiculously
Although
young, though.
It's been
terrible.
Yeah, I guess he had some problems with his blood pressure and things like
that. According to the reports that I read, one of the Honolulu papers, talked about that. I didn't realize he was as good. I knew he was a good player. I mean, obviously, to get to the NFL level, but he was a legend in Hawaii.
Is that right?
He was the state rushing record holder. And I know people are going to say, well, geez, it's Hawaii. How many high schools are there? But I don't care how many there are. He was the best.
Yeah.
For 17 years, he held the state rushing record.
Wow.
Of over 3,300 yards in a career. And, That's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
like
so,
I said, I don't care if it's like 10 high schools in the whole state of Hawaii.
Yeah,
he was the best for 17 years.
So that was sad and sudden, and we heard a lot from former Patriots yesterday as well as current ones. And if you look at Patriots today, last night, the one that they posted, they had a nice little tribute. Patriots yesterday, says Doc. They had a nice little tribute to Mosey, some good clips of, you know, him. So, you know, people forget,
that's,
you know, John Smith gets all the credit for the snow kick,
yeah,
the kick in the snow. But if it wasn't for Mosey's running, he had 81 yards in that game.
Is that all? I thought he was over 100.
Oh, no, I think it was, well, it might have been all purpose over 100.
Okay.
But I think from rushing yards, he had over 80.
So I know Brocky mentioned that in the, because as you mentioned, a lot of his former teammates, you know, chimed in yesterday, and Pete Brock was one of them, and I think he mentioned that.
Yeah, without his running, they wouldn't have been able to get a field goal off. So, you know, it, just a little thing. It wasn't a huge game in Patriots history in terms of winning championships or anything, but it, you know, it goes down into the lore. And. And, you know, he was such a fan favorite, Mosey's Mooses.
A real, real fan favorite, too.
Yeah. So
one of the guys, I posted something on the blog yesterday, Freddie, and one of the guys, one of the original members of Mosey's Mooses, he claims that he has the banner rolled up in his garage right now.
Wow, we should give it to Brian Morey at the
hall.
And we should get it up there
he
in the hall.
He put a comment on the blog yesterday because I asked people to weigh in with their memories of of Mosey, and I didn't know him very well. I did get a chance to meet him a couple times here, but not really, you know, any length of time to sit down and get to know him. But by all accounts, just a terrific guy, and you know, worked a lot with coaching as well. He coached King Philip High School when his son Lofa was was part of that team. And when Lofa went to the University of Maine originally, we talked about this yesterday in the Big Show, Freddie.
Yep,
he was instrumental in realizing right from the start that he was capable of playing at a higher level, and he put together his own sort of highlight tape of his son. And, you know, I know that what father doesn't think their son is better than, you know, he's, you know, the deal he's getting, but he had a lot of faith in the fact that he could play at a higher level. He sent something out to USC and Pete Carroll got it and ended up, you know, taking him, and the rest is history. Well, he had a great career at USC. He's now, a two-time Pro Bowler.
That's one of the problems with New England in general is the football players here don't get the type of awareness that they do in other.
Right.
But that's a whole different story. But, you know, I forgot what I was going to say. Anyway,
Paul gets a raise.
Well,
no.
Doc too.
I might franchise you. I heard the Big Show yesterday.
That was part of the open.
So you might,
I said I'm all for it. They said that you did it. They said Paul's boss.
Yeah, I'm going to franchise you. That means you get the average of the top five salaries of PSW writers. So actually, you're going to get a decrease in pay now because of that franchise tag.
No, it'd be the average of the top five Patriots writers.
No, PFW writers.
And I'll even say if you want to go editors.
Yeah.
The top five editors in Boston. I'll take that, too.
All right. So, Mosey, that was yesterday. Sorry to hear that. Also, the signing of David Patton. A little bit of a surprise, but, you know, we got a lot of comments about it. I think it was on Facebook, and within 10 minutes on the Patriots fan page on Facebook, there was 300 comments. But to me, it's not that big a deal because every year they sign – a few veterans. You got to fill out the training camp roster anyway, and you're going to need receivers, and he's available. Why not? He didn't play last year, so it's not like...
Yeah, you'd like to think they could find guys that were actually in the league, though, Fred.
Right. No, but I mean, he's out there, and, you know, he knows Brady. Why not have him in training camp? Why not give him a shot? So that was one of those why not signings, in my mind. You know, we got a lot... A lot of comments of people saying, well, you know, what's he going to do? He's not going to replace. No, he's not going to do. He's not the answer. He's not the answer to number two or number three wide receiver.
I'm not sure he's on the team.
He may not even make the team. So I wouldn't want to make a big deal out of that signing, you know.
No, I wouldn't make a big deal out of it. I thought it was curious, however. And like I said, I would think that you could find either young guys – to fill out the roster and training camp roster, or the veterans would be veterans that at least have been in the league. And Patton hasn't really done a thing since he left.
No.
He had some production, I think, in New Orleans, I want to say maybe in 05, but hasn't really done much since. And you're talking about one of these guys, by the way. He's a good guy. David Patton.
Yes.
Handled himself, you know, throughout his time here in New England very, very well. And he made some big plays with his team. He was a relatively big part of, I would say, the first two titles. Definitely the first one in 01. But I think he was also a very relevant piece of the 03 title. Now, in 04, I think he was hurt. I don't think he played very much. I'm going to look up the numbers as a... You know, as you take right. over, but he was a guy that he contributed fairly well.
Well, he was
for the Patriots
you know,
in those two in the first two.
Obviously,
titles.
He had the catch in Pittsburgh and from Bledsoe, and then he had the almost the same play. I think it was the exact same play. He caught a touchdown,
very similar
from Brady in the St. Louis game in the Super Bowl. Then he was part of probably one of the most amazing days any football player can have against the Colts. He was involved in the triple play where he caught a touchdown. Threw for a touchdown, and I think ran for a touchdown in
That's
the same
right,
game.
In Indy.
Yep.
I actually was backwards. He had a great year in 01. He had 51 for 749 and four touchdowns. You know, as the second, you know, kind of a number two, second banana type receiver, he was very good that year. In 03 was the year he got hurt because he only had nine catches for 140 yards in 03. So I mixed up those 2 years. In 04, he bounced right back with 44 for 807 touchdowns. So he had a really good year in 2004, second leading receiver behind Givens. Actually had more catches and more touchdowns than Branch.
So, but that's ancient history. So,
yeah, it hasn't really done much since.
Yeah, so he's gonna fill a roster spot in training camp, we think, and you know we'll go from there. But this is not, to me, this is no answer to anything. This is just a guy. What else happened yesterday? Anything good?
That's a lot. I mean, there's a lot. It was a lot going on.
You know, for an off-season day, you know, there's a lot going on in the combine. I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more from Andy and Eric as the day goes by. They'll be there. There's all kinds of stuff going on. Most of the Patriots coaches left yesterday.
Yeah, they were on the plane with
really?
Yeah, Dante and I think some other guys, too. I know. I remember specifically Dante was on their flight. And a couple of the local writers were also on that same flight. I know Albert Breer was and Karen Garigian. Things get really underway right now. I just was going back and forth with Andy a little while ago on email, and they really hadn't had any players yet. They had a couple of punters. But offensive linemen, I think, are due to work out today and tight ends. And none of those guys have come out yet. But so I would keep checking the blog, you know, periodically during the day, and I'm sure that you'll see some stuff. But they talked to Chan Gailey a little bit, who's, you know, obviously
right.
coming back to the AFC East as the Buffalo Bills coach. He spent some time in Miami as a coordinator a few years back. And they talked to Schwartzy, as I already mentioned. So some of the personnel and coaching people around the league. Andy talked to his binky, Kevin Colbert, too, who he just absolutely loves, the Pittsburgh GM, de facto GM. I don't know what his title is, but so there's a lot. There is a lot going on.
Yep.
Already in Indy.
Let's see. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Web radio at patriots.com. You were on the big show yesterday. Anything big going on there?
You're naked,
no,
not going.
Not really.
No?
No. I didn't really even come up with any gossip for you either, which I always like to have. Hmm. But we watched a lot of the Olympic hockey game, which was pretty entertaining while we were going on. The U.S. just absolutely killed Switzerland, but the goalie was unbelievable.
Yeah.
The kid from
Anaheim,
Hiller.
They had 42 shots on goal, and the USA had like 14 or something?
Yeah, no, Switzerland had 14.
Oh.
U.S. had 40.
Oh, okay.
It was like 48 to 19 or something
okay.
like that.
I thought it was the other way around.
No, the U.S. absolutely killed him.
Oh, okay. I thought the U.S. goalie stood on his head.
No, other way around.
Oh, okay.
Jonas Hiller, the Anaheim Mighty Ducks goalie, was the goaltender for the Swiss.
I see.
And he kept them in the game.
Okay.
Great game. You watch any of the – you probably haven't watched any. You're all frazzled.
No, I
watched any of the skiing.
I watched a little bit last night. I watched.
See what happened to Julia Mancuso?
I got to tell you.
Yeah,
that
sucks.
I mean, it's. I don't think there's like anybody at fault, but it sucks.
Yeah, she was winning at the time.
She was in the midst of a good run, and they had to stop her because Lindsey Vonn was still
right
down on the course.
Whining.
Well, she did break her finger. But, you know, what are you going to do?
She shouldn't have dropped her hand.
I guess that, I mean, that's the standard procedure is they have 1 minute intervals.
Yeah.
You know, one goes and then a minute later and the next one goes. So there can be two on the course at the same time all the time. So if someone falls, that can happen. But that seems to be a weird thing to me.
Yeah. You know.
You know, how do you, I don't know. But anyway, she had to, she was stopped in the middle of her run, which was a very successful run at that time. And then most skiing experts, they must not be so mentally tough because most skiing experts say when they have to do the rerun, they it never goes well.
Right, right. Well, that's too bad. I watched a little bit last night. They had the ski jumping where they twist in the air and all that stuff. And they had some women's figure skating. But I didn't watch too much last night.
I saw the
night.
Bobsled. But it was some unbelievable wipeout.
Oh, I did see that. I saw the one where the woman actually came right out of the sled.
Unbelievable.
I was like, is that a body that just came out?
The German. All of a sudden, she just came flying out of the back. And
yeah.
Like, oh.
I mean, they're going like 90 miles an hour.
She was probably going about 35.
Yeah.
That's like sliding down the track.
That was unbelievable. We did get really attacked because I guess on Tuesday we were talking about the women snowboarders and how they're not even close to the men in terms of what they can do and the height, which I believe, you know, it's the same thing like WNBA, you know. They're good basketball players. They'll kick my ass, but you can't compare them to the NBA.
We got attacked for that?
Oh, Todd Johnson wrote in and said, the women's snowboarding comments, they don't jump as high or spin half as much, and it shouldn't have been shown. Seriously, stop talking about things you know nothing about. Statement is false. Not sure which PF dubber it was, but you know who you are. I think it was Andy, but I backed him up. On top of that, don't talk blank on something you little pussy ass would never do. Makes you look stupid. Stick to Patriots Radio, fella. There's a reason your job is only focused on one thing. And then he really hits us at where it hurts. To the people out there that are buying the staff lunch, what a bunch of suckers. Just write them an email. If and when they read it, it'll feel just as good, and you won't be out of money. And one more thing, and then I'm done attacking. The whining, it's got to stop. Debating is fine, but whining, yelling at someone like someone stole your turn has definitely lessened the amount of times I listen to the show. And that was Andy on Tuesday because he was really, you know, raising his voice. But, you know, the whole thing, this always happens when someone criticizes female, you know, athletes that do the same thing as male athletes, and they take it as, well, you know, they're not good at. Of course they're good athletes. Of course they can do something that, you know, most people, male or female, can do. But what we were talking about was comparing it to what the men do. And it just, it's different. You can see it's a noticeable difference. And that's why they have a woman event. That's why they don't have them all compete against each other.
That's right.
You know? That's
if it was true equality, there wouldn't be
right,
any separation of competition.
If it was as good as the men, they'd have them competing with the men. They wouldn't have to break it up.
Yeah, and I also, you know, listen, we don't have to get all defensive or anything like that like we normally do. I normally do. I shouldn't speak for everybody else. Sometimes we disagree, and sometimes we argue. And when that happens, there's times when, you know, whatever, someone gets heated or we raise our voices or whatever. I mean, these things happen. You know, I think when you have sports conversations and discussions about these things, I think that's kind of normal. I think people don't always agree on things. On Tuesday, Andy disagreed with you and I for a rare time that you and I were actually aligned, Freddie.
Right.
And, you know, with the whole ratings thing. And, you know, so we spent 15 minutes kind of heatedly discussing it.
I think most
of our... Is that really a reason not to listen to the show anymore?
This is what you guys always do. You change my argument and put words in my mouth.
About two or 2.5 years ago, maybe, we did a poll of all our listeners. Might not have been that long ago. And the vast majority of listeners said, keep it real. Just, you know...
They like it.
Yeah, don't hold back.
And don't create it. That's,
right.
I think, what the things that people like. I think we don't script anything.
Right.
And there's no, you know what we should talk about? This, and you can take this side, and I'll take this side. We don't ever do that.
Except Eric. He show preps. He scripts out his next move when he hosts.
And who's the least effective of the four of us?
Point taken.
Thank you.
You know, so I think most of our listeners want us to just keep it real. And if we get mad, get mad. Don't hold back.
Well, that's the point.
You know, just be yourself.
I think if we sat here and fabricated arguments just for the sake of trying to do a quote-unquote edgy radio show or a good radio show, I don't think it would work.
Yeah.
But I think most people recognize when we start bickering back and forth, it's real.
Right. We do hate each other.
Yeah,
it's real.
No, we do.
And people should know also that it's not just shtick for the radio. Like, if you guys walk out of the studio screaming and yelling at each other
any given afternoon, and you can see
you guys,
Fred will be sitting there and he'll be yelling at me about something and then laughing, and everybody starts laughing or whatever, and people walk by us, they shake their heads, they can't believe that we're actually talking about this stuff.
Right.
That's what we do.
And sometimes we actually argue about stuff that's important, you know? But, no, that's just who we are. We're not putting on airs. We're not fabricating it. It's
and the other part about that email that I didn't like, regardless of the difference, men and women who care, you know, don't talk about something you don't know anything about.
Right.
Or you what do you call it? He called Andy a pussy because he wouldn't do it or whatever.
Right.
All right, so should we not talk about football? I mean, I don't play professional football.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, should I not talk about anything? Politics. Should we not, you know, assess what the president's doing? I'm not qualified to be the president.
Right. So no more sports writers.
I mean, no more anything.
Right.
You can't talk about anything if you don't do it.
Right.
So all I can talk about is writing?
Right. No, we're not saying that they're not good athletes, and it's amazing what they do. It was a conversation about what, you know, as a viewer, you've just watched the men do the same thing. It's a letdown. I'm sorry. It is. It's like watching women's basketball, a WNBA. They're great basketball players. Yeah, they'll kick my ass. But I'm not going to watch it because my standard is the NBA. I'm sorry. Same thing with college. College women's hoop is great, but I'd much rather watch the men. You know,
does that same rule apply to the NFL? And
if they were in lingerie, no.
Right? I was just going to say lingerie football. You're going to watch that over the men, right?
Absolutely.
Any day.
That goes without saying. You know, but being
so don't give up on the show. Who was that? What was the email that was helping us there?
Todd Johnson.
Todd, don't give up on us.
Well, the comment about people.
You gotta kind of roll with the punches a little bit better.
Look, the comment about people who buy us lunches.
Yeah.
I can't really argue with that one. But I appreciate the people who buy us lunches.
Yeah, it's not like we sit there and we make people buy us lunches. It's a great, I mean, I think it's an unbelievable gesture. And I'm definitely, and today, Scott in Atlanta, right?
Right.
Scott in Atlanta.
That's right, by the way. Scott in Atlanta was nice enough to...
I think it's an amazing show of generosity, and it's not something that people should feel like they have to do.
No.
I absolutely agree with Todd about that. I think it's amazing that people do it, and I'm very grateful for it.
Yep. You know, people realize that we do this during our lunchtime, and we don't get a lunchtime when we do this. So, you know, it's kind of helping us out a little bit. You know, you get on that big show that you're on, Paul, and the... people are clamoring to buy lunch, not the listeners, but regular restaurants, because they get, you know, we'd like to get to that.
We haven't gotten any food lately.
No? Any EI? Really?
That's good.
It used to happen all the time.
Huh. I only like when they get the food for Patriots Monday and Friday. That's just because I'm selfish.
Right. All right. Web radio at patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Otherwise, in the NFL... You know, not a lot that I've heard going on. You mentioned Casey Hampton got signed.
Seymour did get franchised.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
So they slapped him with the franchise tag. Is he happy? Any comments?
I didn't really read anything. I just saw the headline.
Yeah. But that's good money for him because...
Oh, yeah. It's much better money for a defensive end than it is for a defensive tackle.
Yeah.
And I guess Polian has said that he will not put it on Gary Brackett. And that's really their only... unrestricted free agent of note. I think Adam is the only other one, and I don't think that's a big deal.
Brian Westbrook got released.
He got released. And we can get into that. I'm sure that some of our listeners want to talk about him a little bit. But the situation in Indianapolis with Brackett, he's an important guy. He has stated many times that he wants to stay there and retire as a Colt. I think that Polian is pretty confident that he's going to be able to get something done there. But if he can't, the franchise number for the linebacker franchise number is not cost effective. It's almost $10 million.
Is it really?
It's like 9.8 something or some 9 and change, whatever. So that's too much money for, you know, unless you are DeMarcus Ware or some kind of really impact, like, you know, like an LT type that you're impacting games. Gary Brackett is a very good, solid, everyday player, every down player, but not worth $10 million a year annually. So they need to get something done there for Indianapolis. And you mentioned the franchise tags for the nose tackles, Freddie, and that's something else that Andy and Eric have been writing about on the blog. And that was a big topic, that the cost effectiveness. That's why I think you've seen the kid from San Francisco, Abreu Franklin, I think is his name.
Yep.
He was franchised. Will Fork was franchised. There was obviously a lot of talk about Hampton before he got his agreement. But his agreement was for basically $7 million. 3 years, $21 million. It's basically $7 million a year. So that's what people talked about. It's very cost effective
right. To
franchise that position.
Right.
So yeah, I think you're seeing a run on nose tackles.
And
the kid Ryan Pickett from Green Bay is another franchise nose tackle.
Okay. Brooklyn Matt, I guess he took what you said seriously, Paul, when you said that female skiers must not be mentally tough. He's very mad at you. He says, what a chump comment coming from a balding fat man. I think you were just kidding, right?
Yes.
All right. And then let's see.
That would be, to me, one of the most unbelievably difficult things to do.
Oh.
Be in the middle of something that you've worked 4 years to prepare for.
Right.
Been told to stop and do it over again. I can't imagine of anything more difficult than that from a mental aspect.
Especially in that sport. Not that you guys want to hear me talk skiing anymore, but those people in the Super G, the GS, and all those athletes literally will inspect that course to the point that when you see them kind of moving their arms at the top, they have that memorized. And when it throws them off their rhythm, they're
hey, what's the difference between the Super G and the downhill?
It's the distance between the gates that tell them when to turn. The downhill has the greatest distance, allowing you to generate the most speed. The Super G is a little closer. The GS is a little closer. And slalom is the single pole, which is the tightest turn.
Wow. Okay. I never knew that. Thank you. Dana from Colorado says, don't change a thing, fellas. I love your banter, your stupid arguments and comments, and especially your opinions. Tell Todd to screw himself. Don't listen to the show. We don't need his input. And next time you're in Denver, I'll be the first to buy you guys some more beers. That was Dana. We met Dana when we were in Denver.
Go drink.
Yeah. So, but I think that's, and I've told you guys from the start, you got to be real. If you're going to be on the radio, you got to be yourself. You can't fake it, you know, especially when you're asking people to tune in every week, twice a week, three times a week during the season. If you're not yourself and don't allow people to kind of get inside your personality, it's just not going to work.
Yeah, and I remember way, 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 way back when I first started here and we first started doing some of this stuff here on Patriots.com and when Brian Morey was still here and he and I used to do the guest spots that we do on other shows, Jonathan Kraft would tell us and tell you through to make sure you told us as well that very message. You know, make sure that they are being what they want to be and not what they think that they have to say, because it will be very transparent.
Yeah.
And it won't be good for the brand, for our brand, the Patriots, because that will be very easily transparent to a knowledgeable sports fan who's listening is going to know that's not what he thinks,
right,
or that's not how he believes, or,
right,
or whatever. So that was something that was very important to us, is the message from the very top, the Kraft family.
Right.
Kind of be you. And,
what?
You know, that doesn't mean we go out there and sit there and criticize every little last thing that we have a problem with. But at the same time, you can't sit there and say, hey, they lost to, you know, New Orleans on a Monday night, 38-17, whatever the final score of that game was. Geez, a play here or there,
right.
You know, could have.
Right.
Jonathan doesn't want that.
Right.
Stop laughing, Paul Borello.
You know, and
exactly.
When I'm a homer, that's because I really am. I'm not faking it.
And people who don't like Andy on the radio probably won't like him off the radio.
Right.
I don't.
Hamza in Toronto says, enjoying the show today, even down to two voices. Just wanted to say, I love the arguments. Please don't feel like you have to tone them down. Personally, when everyone starts yelling and taking shots and making more and more absurd assumptions, I start laughing out loud at work. And those are the moments listeners remember. Remember the great debate. And it will always end well anyway when Fred says, right. P.S. Tell Andy he can call me Joe from now on. I don't mind as long as I can keep calling him Big Head. Of course.
Did you hear that one? That might have been after you left the other day.
Yeah, I didn't. I guess I didn't.
That was a different name that I can remember on the email. That I don't really remember a lot of emails from him.
Right.
But evidently, he's a big part of the show. He wrote in on Tuesday after you had left, Fred.
Yeah.
And he said he called Andy Bighead. He said, "Hey, Bighead, blah 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 blah," and Andy got all offended. Who's this guy? Who's this guy calling? Not just anybody can call me Big Head. Who is this guy? And he started talking in lightning quick sentences like he always does. Yeah. And I said, well, you know, in this guy's defense, because Eric was reading the emails, he might email in every show, but Fred just calls him Joe or something, you know?
Right.
You know, because you know how you have a tendency to butcher all the names. So that's why he says you can call me Joe if you want.
On the other side of the argument, Brian from Colorado says, I turned off Tuesday's show too. Generally, I give you guys a lot of leeway, but there are a lot of other things to listen to, and Tuesday's show just wasn't cutting it. In general, I enjoy spending my time listening to your show, but I won't waste my time if it doesn't feel right. I believe most people appreciate the effort you all put out, but there are other options for the 2 hours you're on. Okay. That's fair. You know, not every show. You know, sometimes, like, I listen to Stern or whatever.
I think that's constructive.
I don't always listen to it because it may not be something I'm interested in.
I thought
in.
That was constructive criticism. I think that is, he likes the show.
Check it out.
There are things that we do that he doesn't like, and when we do those things that he doesn't like, he turns it off.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's,
sure.
I think that's a normal, balanced reaction. I do it all the time.
Yeah.
I only wish I could do it to our show, but, yeah.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, someone's on the phone?
I'll make sure during the break.
Okay, we'll be right back.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards, first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. 3 Super Bowl championships. Endless memories.
It's good! It's good!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4.
Yes, it's a dynasty. And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehallatpatriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
Patriots, PFW in progress.
PFW in progress on Patriots.com with Jake Steele, Portly Paul Perillo, Eric Scalavino, and Andy the Idiot Hart. Online and out of bounds at Patriots.com.
All right. Hey, that last commercial, good segue about the Hall. They're unveiling a new exhibit at the Hall, and it comes directly from the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's Pro Football in the American Spirit. It's a traveling exhibit from the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which honors professional football players and personnel who served our nation and in the military. So basically, Eric goes up and looks at everything and says, thank you for your service, thank you for your service. That's he just looks at everything. No, but seriously, it's pretty cool. It's been in Canton for a while, and now they're moving it around. It tells the story of various things, including professional football players and personnel who served our nation in the military from World War II to Desert Storm and in the conflict in Afghanistan. So it's got video, flat screen displays, artifacts. It's got Pat Tillman's Army Ranger uniform.
That's pretty cool.
Rocky Blyer's Purple Heart from the Vietnam.
From the Vietnam?
Yeah, so it's cool. And they have a thing today, right, that they're unveiling it? Or
no, it's Saturday.
Oh, Saturday.
And
Saturday.
It's also the hall's open during this time, but Mr. Kraft is going to speak. We actually secured local representation from each of the major branches of the military, and they're coming down to be a part of the kickoff, and they will all also be presenting a gift on behalf of the military and their respective units, not Gino's unit, their unit.
Gino will be there.
Yes.
Yeah.
To the hall that'll be part of this exhibit, and you know, I think the U.S. Constitution is bringing a round of ammo to leave in the hall.
Well, that's cool. And Brian Morey will be there.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
But you still should go.
Yeah. So that's opening on Saturday, and it'll be here for how long? Does it say when it ends?
Because
how,
if there was a some kind of, I don't know.
I'm trying to look here. When,
you know, Brian Moyer's on a big-time exercise program, Freddie.
Is he?
That is
oh, yeah.
So,
well, he's on the market now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and he's, you know, that, I don't know if he necessarily needed that to be, you know, broadcast over
well,
the air. But
know.
Hey, Fred's keeping it real.
There's any women in the
point,
audience?
Good point.
Yeah. It doesn't say when
yeah,
it
no,
is.
Now you just launched a competition for the women in the audience. Do you want to help out Scalavino or Brian?
Right.
That's a good point. I don't think there'll be too many knocking down the doors at Filene's basement for that one.
Yeah, I think it'll be at the hall for a couple months. I'm not sure about that, but you definitely want to check it out while it's here, as well as the
check
rest
it out.
Of the hall. So good stuff. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And on the phone right now is Mike and Sharon. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. Long time no talk, but you guys have been busy.
Yeah, we've been busy. How about you?
Pretty busy. I was just devastated when I heard the news about Mosey the other day. I just couldn't believe it, especially with, you know, all the time that he had spent, you know, last year. A lot of the anniversary team spent a lot of time at Patriot Place and doing different things around there. And I got to know him through Tip, and he was a great guy. I was actually born the year after the year of the Super Bowl. And if they had won, I would have been named after Mosey. So
really?
Yeah.
Well, so you can thank that. Right?
So you lost. They lost. You got named after Mike Taliaferro.
No, I think Michael was just a general name.
Oh, okay.
But no, they did say that if the Patriots had won the Super Bowl 20, that I would have been named after Mosey Tijuco. Which, so I'm kind of split on that Super Bowl.
Well, that'd have been cool. Well, right now on the phone is Mosey from Sharon. I would have liked that.
But he was a great guy. I only got to know him after his career, but it's very sad to hear. And also very sad to hear about Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's a Fredism right there.
Yeah. So now we begin the wonderful NFL Combine, and things really start to heat up, and then looking forward to March 5th.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, you know, what happens on March 5th. And I think it's just going to be one of the most intriguing off seasons ever.
It might also be frustrating for fans.
Oh, it's going to be very frustrating for fans. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's not going to be what a lot of people thought it was 2 years ago.
Right.
And there's a lot of factors that have conspired. You know, the funny thing is, and there's a great story. I don't know if you saw this, Fred, in ESPN the magazine by Seth Wickersham. Wrote it, I think, last week. You would have thought for sure that, you know, remember Gene Upshaw used to say, once that salary cap goes away, you'll never get it back. Well, right now, the players want the salary cap back, and the owners don't. Because the owners don't want the floor.
Right.
You know, and that's going to, I think, create a very different landscape than what most people thought. And there are going to be, first of all, there are so few quality unrestricted free agents available. And I had some numbers. I had some numbers on this, but I want to say 80% of the money in a typical free agency year is given to players who are, on average, 28 years old. Well, right now, players who are, on average, 28 years old are restricted free agents, for the most part. So your unrestricted guys are guys around 30. And what ends up happening is those aren't, you know, the $60, $70 million guys that you read about every year. And Mike is right. There are very few guys that are worth. I mean, Julius Peppers is a guy that is worth some money. You know, I don't know, maybe a Chris Chambers, Antonio Bryant. You know, but there's a very, very small number of guys that are, you know, Dante Robinson is going to be available now. The Texans aren't going to franchise him. He's not going to get an Asante Samuel contract or a Nate Clements contract. He's not that good. He's a good player, but he's not a great player. So I don't think that these guys are going to get the financial windfall that I think that they probably all hoped for 2 years ago when thoughts of an uncapped season started dancing in their heads.
And Demoris Smith, who I'm losing respect,
does not get it.
He doesn't get it. He came out with a comment the other day, I don't know if yesterday or the day before, about, you know, we want a thing in court that's going to force the teams to continue with the shared revenue part. So we expect that it gets spent. You know, in other words, you better be spending more on players in 2010 in this uncapped year than you did the year before. And if you don't, you know, read between the lines, it's probably collusion. And he just doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. He, you know.
And has he looked at the list?
Well, I know. It's not like this, other than Peppers. You know, who's out there?
Just for an, you know, and Mike obviously is well informed on this. He's probably more informed than we are on a lot of these things. But you just look at the problems with restricted free agency. That's where all the talent is. And you might just say, well, go out and sign these guys to big-time offer sheets. You can't. And some will. Some restricted free agents will make some big offer. They'll get some big offers. But it's hard to do that for teams right now because of just the onerous nature of the process. For example, if the Patriots wanted to get a wide receiver, you know, everybody knows that they need a wide receiver. There's some really good, you know, Miles Austin, Vincent Jackson. There's some good players that are available as restricted free agents. Well, more than likely, those guys are going to be the highest tendered guys, right? First and third round picks in return. So now you have to decide, is this guy worth a first and a third and 5 years and $55
million? Right.
Just, you know, just to throw round numbers out there. Okay, if he is. If he is, I make that offer. Now I have to wait a week to find out if the other team will match that offer.
Right.
This is in the middle of free agency.
And I
can't go after another. I can't sign Vincent Jackson to that offer sheet and say, well, if I don't get him, I'm on the hook. I got Miles Austin over here. I can only go for one of them. And I can't go for both.
Right.
First of all, the Patriots couldn't go for either one of those right now because they don't even have a third round pick. And you have to have the compensation in order to make an offer. So right now they don't even have a third-round pick, so they couldn't even make that offer sheet of a first and a third because they don't have it to give. There's a lot that goes into this that people, I don't think, take into consideration.
And I think as much as it's been proven to build a strong team, you'd have to have a good mix of draft and free agent. But I still think the mentality on teams is that those draft picks are worth more, you know, than getting a free agent for the most part.
See,
they're just
so
reluctant to give up.
In a regular year, I would be willing to give that up. But in a year like this, I'm not sure I would, because I think that there's not going to be a lot of movement. I think there's going to be very little player movement. You like that fancy bottle, Fred?
I was just noticing that the two liter bottle for the Diet Coke is now shaped like a Coke bottle a little bit.
Yeah, like a small Coke bottle.
Yeah, so that's new.
I think what you're going to see.
See how I lose my focus?
And, Mike, I don't know if you agree with this, but I think you're going to see a lot of veteran guys sign one-year deals.
Oh, I agree.
Not necessarily big money one-year deals either, but, you know, kind of status quo. Let's do this until we know what the landscape is going to be moving forward. You sign a one-year deal with us, like Lee Bodden did last year, and then we'll see what we can do moving forward.
Oh, I definitely agree. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. And, you know, I think a lot of the 30-year-olds that aren't to the talent level of Lee Bodden, who are a little bit less than him, you know, are probably just going to be re-signing with their current teams.
Yeah, that's why I think there's going to be very little player movement. Not very little, but a lot less player movement than we normally see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks for showing up. Thanks for calling in, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
You know, one of the things that I don't think will be that bad for the players' union, and I think that they should work with the owners about, is this whole rookie salary cap thing. You know, as long as – and I'm looking at it from the player side. As long as I can be guaranteed that the money we're losing from that has to be spent on veterans –
Period.
Yeah, then I'm okay, because that'll help in a situation like this for players like Lee Bodden and guys that are around 30 years old. That could help, you know, them make a little bit more money on their third contract, you know, or guys that, you know, have been around the league a lot and worked off a lot of smaller contracts. It'll help those guys. So I think that's something that I think they should have agreement on, you know.
No, I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you. I don't think – see, those high rookie salaries right now are good for the veterans too, because there's money there. And they know that, you know, that there's money. But as long as they don't lose that overall revenue,
right,
it'd be better for those veterans if they could get those rookie contracts to be capped a little bit, and now the trickle-down is more of these guys get the money.
Right.
So I agree with you 100%. I think as long as they can guarantee that revenue won't go somewhere else.
The key is you have to force the owners to spend that money. So, you know, now I don't have to give, you know, Jamarcus Russell X amount, maybe it's half that, but that other half has to be spent on salaries.
Yeah, and I think that also causes a lot of problems in terms of the locker room with, you know, rookies coming in,
yeah,
making that kind
of
money before they've done anything. I don't think that's a good situation for the league.
Hey, on the phone right now, our Cub reporter. No, he's not a Cub reporter. Eric Scalavino is in Indianapolis at the Combine, and he's calling in with some updates. Eric, how you doing?
Good, Fred. But, man, it's not just the callers. It's your employees you leave hanging on the line during the show.
We just had Mike from Sharon on. We can't cut him off.
Yes, you can.
First of all, I don't remember making the request for a guest at this time.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay.
Have you met any women?
There are a few, actually, very, very nice looking. It looked like team employees who are walking around here today. So
no is what you're telling me.
So he's wearing his finest Argyle
sweater. What were they wearing?
Yes, that's a good point, Doc. Doc brings up a good point. What type of sweater are you wearing, Eric?
Navy blue crew neck.
Oh, you went with the crew neck?
Something simple, yeah.
I would have gone with the V-neck with the waffle undershirt. more of the lumberjack look, yeah.
They like that in the Midwest?
Well, yeah. You know, we're making things happen.
Do they have any cheerleading things going on while you're there?
We haven't seen, but, you know, it's still early.
Just stay away.
It's still early.
All right, yeah. So
what do you got for us today? The last update I saw, there would have been – had been very few, if any, player interviews yet. I know that there were a couple of punters that were available, so I know you were probably excited. But
yeah, I actually did. I get to talk to Michigan's Zoltan Mesko. But here's how the day started. They had they scheduled the some coaches and GMs for the morning, and some of the players are now starting to make their way in the afternoon period. Andy's handling the O-line today. I'm doing the tight ends and any specialists of note. And
tight ends for Eric. Big shock there.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, cheap shot. Right.
Listen,
it's still
Andy's
not
here.
Response.
Andy is with you. Okay?
Yes, I know.
So his comments can't be shared with the greater audience here. So someone's got to pick up the slack.
So this morning we talked to...
Proceed.
I will. We talked to a couple of people who are of note with regard to the Patriots. We talked to Chan Gailey, the new Bills head coach. Jeff Ireland, the Dolphins GM. Scott Pioli is scheduled to talk this afternoon. I see Mike Holmgren out here in the hallway right now with his Browns jacket on, talking to a few people. So it's been active. It's been a typical combine. There's been a lot of activity. It's been mostly on the team side and not so much on the players, but that'll change pretty soon.
All right, so we still have no players really to talk about. So there's no guys that you you and Andy can sort of give us an early heads up on that have caught your eye yet. So I don't know.
The only one,
I don't know what we need you for then.
No, Paulie, actually the one that I think, I mean, it is a punter. And I know the last time I was at the Combine interested in a punter, that was Mike Dragosevich a couple of years ago. He ended up with the Patriots for camp.
And there is
really
a,
make it that
and
far.
I think there is a possibility of a late round pick for a punter. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Right, and the guy that I talked to today was Michigan's Zoltan Mesko, and he sounded like a very interesting player both on and off the field. They had some player interviews last night with the coaches, and Mesko was explaining that they had like a special teams gauntlet. They had like eight tables with eight special teams coaches. Scott O'Brien was one of them, and when he got to O'Brien's table, O'Brien pretty much led the session and was very interested and talked to him quite a bit, and it seemed like they got along pretty well. That was my boy Mike Reese is just walking by right now, and he actually asked the question, and he's begging me to make sure that I give him props for doing so, which
he's
he
such
did.
He's such a glory hound. It's really embarrassing. Really, really embarrassing.
He did a great job. But Mesko was talking about how he knows Pierre Woods, and Pierre came back to Michigan to train this past month, and he talked to him about Scott O'Brien. The kid was born in Hungary. He was there till he was 11. He speaks four different languages.
Wow.
Including German. So we brought up the whole Sebastian Vollmer connection, and he thought that was pretty interesting. He punted in high school in Ohio for 4 years and 4 years at Michigan. So he
I thought the next thing you were going to say was for Tom McDaniels.
No, I don't think that was the case, but that would have been funny. But anyway, he talked about being able to kick in cold weather and bad, you know, inclement weather, the sort of things that would, you know, we see in New England all the
sure.
time. So I think there's strong interest in that. And,
keep an
and,
eye
and
on
I
him.
I think rightly so.
Is he the number one ranked punter?
He is.
Yeah, okay.
He is. So not only is he the number one ranked, he's also seems to be a good connection there with the Pats. So keep an eye on Zoltan Mesko.
Zoltan Mesko.
Don't mess with the Zoltan.
Is that a Z-O-
that was my headline on my blog.
Oh, good. Good, Eric. Good.
Where's the rimshot.com? Which, is he sleeping over there?
You missed it, idiot. Like he already did it.
Where'd you guys meet last night?
Weber Grill.
Went to Weber Grill, yeah.
And was it good?
And, oh, it's phenomenal.
And evidently, Eric had a hard time handling his burger and was criticized.
No, that,
criticized yet again by the waitress.
Couldn't handle his meat.
Once
huh?
again, once again, you shouldn't be listening to the nonsense that Andy Hart puts up on that
it's
blog.
It's not good when waitresses are criticizing you.
Our waitress was a dead ringer for Pink, by the way, except she had dark hair.
Really?
Andy and I both made that observation right off the bat.
So she had dark hair, but she was a dead ringer for Pink.
She came out with a cigarette.
So, did you get her number?
No, I had no. You know, Pink is on the other side of the fence there. But.
Oh, right. So that doesn't mean she is.
No, but yeah.
What about Pink?
He thinks
she swings for the other side.
Really?
Yeah, I believe she came out with that pretty recently.
What, after she got divorced?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wasn't aware of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay.
I actually thought she was getting back together with her husband.
So tight ends and who's next?
Offensive line.
Offensive line is next. Yep. So they're coming in today and tomorrow. And
tomorrow is quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers.
Ooh, big day tomorrow.
So yeah, big day tomorrow. Okay. And Saturday and Sunday are the defensive people.
Okay, great. Did you know that Nick Saban canceled on me? Oh, yeah, you were here on Tuesday.
I did, and that's really unfortunate. Yeah.
Eric took a lot of glee in being right and telling you I told you so?
By the way, keep an eye out.
Being right.
Keep an eye out for me for
Randy Edsel.
Randy Edsel. I tried at a last-ditch effort to get him to come to the clinic this weekend.
Eric's recommendation.
And he personally called me back and told me he was needed to go to a meeting at the Combine on Friday.
He's got a meeting in Indianapolis on Friday.
Really?
Yeah.
Right. So you and Andy, look up, let Andy know that, and be on the lookout for Randy Edsel and see if we hire him as an offensive coordinator. I don't know. Just saying.
Okay, I will. We will look out for that. That's good news. That's a good tip.
But, yeah, he called Freddie back yesterday personally.
Yeah, which was nice of him. He
said
didn't
Fred,
have to do that.
Randy.
Good guy.
Yeah.
Good guy.
So
quite the opposite from what you just had to deal with, apparently.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
This
I'm
more
not
that
saying,
glee.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Okay. All right, Eric. Well, thank you for calling in.
You're cutting in on our show time, Eric, so we got
to
let you go.
That was nice of you to do and smart to do.
Okay.
So,
Doc having a good show.
He blows up one of our own writers. Wow.
I've always wanted to blow Eric up.
Oh, you know.
He talks way too much.
You're going to hear that when he gets back.
Yeah, you always
No, it's Len. I'm off the hook. Hey, Andy, calm down over there.
Wow.
I told you. He's not here. Someone's got to do it.
Let's see. Okay, so that's
good.
Yeah,
but we were both thinking the same way about Eric not being able to handle his meat.
Right, and I'm also trying to prove the fact that with the sophomoric humor that Andy generally has, and everybody thinks he's like, you know, this Richard Pryor of his day. I mean, it's the most obvious thing you could ever think about every time is what Andy throws in there for the punchline. And we're proving that today, Doc and I, with our constant references to Andy.
I think Andy's getting a little manic, though, because he's really, you know, Brian Moore used to do this. He'd get like really blah, blah, and he'd go crazy, and then he'd just crash, and he would fall asleep like a baby.
He does it at the Combine all the time.
Yeah.
You see, Andy, you could tell just by the blogs today that Andy's all jacked up.
Yeah.
And he'll be like that way tomorrow.
Right.
By the weekend,
done. Question.
He'll be done.
He'll be done.
You know, so he's got to pace himself a little bit. Todd Porter writes in. He says, Fred and Paul aren't the odd couple. The real odd couple is in Indy right now. Fred, did you
that
spring for separate beds this year? The love fest after they returned from Indy last year was sickening.
Quite uncomfortable, Todd.
It was. You know, and not only that, I remember last year when the Patriots went out early to San Francisco and they stayed in San Jose or whatever, and Andy and Eric were there early. By the time we got there, they were practically holding hands in the hallway. I mean, they had like
Kumbaya.
Created this bond, you know, so I don't know what goes on when they are on the road. It's crazy. Anyway, Todd says, I've been listening since 2000-ish. It was before Andy. Paul wasn't married, fat or bald, and your name...
Well, I was bald, but the other part wasn't.
And you're the same people all of this time. Fred couldn't fake it for that long. The arguments, no matter how stupid they are the best part of the show. Can you give us a rundown of the restricted free agents and where you think they will be tendered? They have to get this underway before the deadline is next Thursday.
Todd is like... What? There's like 300 guys, and they're all going to get different level attenders.
We've got time. Go ahead.
Well, do we list them anywhere?
Well, when we find out what the Patriots tender are, I mean, unless you're just talking specifically about our guys, they're starting to trickle out a little bit league-wide. Guys are – I think the Saints have tendered a couple, two or three guys. I was reading on Pro Football Talk.
Yeah.
One of them is that that offensive tackle that filled in for Jamal Brown. It's Bushrod, I think. He got the second-round tender.
Okay.
So they're going to all trickle in, but there are four different levels of tender. And in addition to that, this year, because it used to be just 3 years of accrued service, restricted free agent, well, now it's 3, 4, and 5. So if you're a fifth-year service guy, your tenders are higher than a fourth or a third. So there's 12 different...
Wow. It's complicated.
Yeah, there's 12 different numbers to know. But the highest tender, you receive a first and a third. The high tender was a first. Then the next one is a second. And then the last one is, the right of refusal basically corresponding with your draft status. So if you were a sixth-round pick, you'd get a sixth-rounder in return.
John writes in, thanks, guys, for keeping us Patriots fanatics sane all year long. I've got just one request for the new desk site. Any chance you guys could set it up to automatically download the audio PFW Patriots Monday in Playbook? It would save us listeners who download this material for later listening a lot of time. Thanks for keeping us laughing. Well, the problem with that is there's such large files, John. I'm not sure you'd want us to do that because, remember, that's downloading directly to your hard drive. I'm not sure that you want that. So that's why for those things we didn't make them automatic downloads. But maybe there's something we can work out there. I hear what you're saying. And also John says, by the way, Eric, this is Patriots Radio. Get on the Pats train or move to Cleveland and work for the Browns.
There you go.
Just kidding. And don't forget, Eric, when Lent is over, it doesn't mean you can make up for it by being an ass.
I agree.
So, yeah, what happens after Lent? Does Eric just turn into this maniac that just starts, like, you know?
I think he's going to start punching Andy.
Back to the Patriots situation.
I don't think that would be a good idea.
With their restricted free agents. By the way, Logan Mankins, I would be shocked if he didn't get the highest tender. You know, Gostkowski will probably get a pretty high tender too. If maybe the second level down. Those two guys, I think, are the key restricted guys. There's, most of the other ones are more. They're going to get tendered, but I don't think there's going to be necessarily a huge demand. Logan Mankins, I think, would draw some attention if you undersold him in terms of his tender.
Yeah,
but I don't think that too many of the others will.
Dave in Pennsylvania says, I was just wondering if you could send me the Eric Cartman soundbite. Did you do that, Doc? And also, he says, I really have nothing to say about the team right now except the Patton move was dumb. Go make a deal for Deion Branch.
Are you mad about that?
What?
That he just called that dumb?
Patton deal?
Yeah, after what you just went through.
I do. I mean, let's just say that Branch was available, which he isn't, by the way. He's under contract. But signing Patton doesn't mean you don't go out and sign another wide receiver.
Right.
They're going to – between now – we just forget this every year.
I stand
year.
By this, too, and I continue to go back to this example. In 2007, when they needed wide receivers in the worst way, they signed – Kelly Washington and Dante Stallworth early. They ended up getting Wes Welker in a trade as a restricted free agent. And then even after they had all three of those guys, they still went out and got Randy Moss.
Right.
Four guys that were reasonably big money. Even Kelly Washington. Now, they had that bonus, that I think it was a $4 million bonus, that they didn't have to give him if it didn't work out. But there was money invested there. There were resources invested in all four of those guys.
And remember,
so don't think that they signed David Patton, and that means they won't be interested in Deion Branch if he becomes available.
And remember,
or anybody else.
They ended the season with a 53-man roster. They're going to open training camp with 80 guys. They've got to sign players. Not all of them are going to be, you know, these answers to holes that they finished the season with. They just got to sign players, and Patton was one. I think they made a release about it because, you know, he's a veteran, and usually when you have a
when you sign a guy, you put a release out, no matter who it is.
You know, and it got picked up on because he's a veteran, and people talked about it. But it's just a signing. They need to sign another 30 guys before camp starts. So you're going to see a lot of these, and some of them will be, you know, splashes, and some won't be. So don't worry about it is what I'm saying. Alex from Georgia says, I just listened to the podcast of Tuesday show, and I was starting to wonder if I was listening to The View instead of PFW. Honestly, enough of the Olympic talk. And Andy, a spokesman of the people, you should know that we don't care about that. Eric does make a good Star Jones, though.
Oh.
Eric is Star Jones? She could eat him, right?
I don't know what she's looking like now. I know she had the surgery, right?
Oh, did she? I thought she was a big woman.
I think she had the gastric bypass.
Steven New Hampshire said, we are the View of football.
Okay, good. So the Pats,
that should be our new slogan.
So the Pats are bringing back David Patton.
It was a promo during the season.
A little confused about that move, and I seriously hope that this means they aren't going to draft a wide receiver somewhere in the draft. It means nothing. Trust me. Seeing that
David Patton means nothing in terms of the draft. Means nothing in terms of free agency thoughts or
right.
plans. It
right.
means nothing to in terms of trading for anybody.
Right.
Nothing. David Patton is just a guy they signed.
Seeing that he was out of football last year, why wouldn't I have the Pats consider bringing him in last season? I really hope the Pats can get Kindle in the first round and hopefully Golden Tate and Toby Gerhart in the second round. Well, if they could do that, boy, I'd be like jumping off walls.
It's unbelievable.
If and it's a big if they are still available. I would like to see C.J. Spiller in the first round, but I doubt he falls all the way to 22. So, boy, those three guys, Golden Tate and Toby Gerhardt, in the same draft would be pretty cool, I think.
I like Golden Tate. I think he
you don't
be,
like you don't like.
No, nah, I'm not Toby, a huge Gerhardt
Toby
fan.
Gerhardt.
I think he's good. I think he's good. I just don't think he's great. Okay. I don't want to.
He's got a big heart.
But this has nothing to do with Gerhardt in particular. Whoever else you want to put, C.J. Spiller, I think the world of. You know that,
right?
I don't want to draft him in the first round either, or the second round. I don't think. Let me take that back. Gerhardt in the second round, sure, fine. I just don't want to invest a huge amount in running backs because I just don't think the window is open long enough. I think they have a very short span where they're very productive, even the great ones. 4-5 years, fine. Basically, if you take a guy in the first round, he has to be as good as like Adrian Peterson.
Right, he has to come right out of the block and contribute.
To be worth it. Yeah. No, but not just contribute, he has to be great.
Yeah.
Because LT is the best running back that I've seen in my time covering the Patriots. Okay? He was the best. It's always going to close.
Right.
You know? I'm not saying that San Diego should regret drafting him. They shouldn't have. Matter of fact, they probably should have won a title with him. They had a talented enough team to do that. So I don't think it was a bad pick.
They were like the Patriots of in the 70s.
But do you know how – that's a very good analogy. I think if you look at the running backs, I think you have to be that good for it to pan out, for that to be a really good pick.
Right.
Adrian Peterson, LaDainian Tomlinson. I mean, even D'Angelo Williams, he's been very good. Is that really worth it?
Right. Yeah.
I suppose you could say late first round, that was a pretty good pick. Joseph Addai, late first round, that was a pretty good pick. But if I'm going to take a guy in the top half of the first round LT or Peterson, no
even
thanks.
With Addai, you can make the case that you didn't need to spend a first-round pick to get that type of production in your running game.
I agree. And you look at I also look at a lot of things with the running game in general too. And who were, in your opinion, the best teams in football last year?
Well, it was
give me a top three or four.
Well, it was obviously the Saints, the Vikings, and the Colts.
Okay, I would put the Chargers in there too.
Yeah, I did. You know,
I think two of those teams couldn't run the ball at all, and two of them could.
Right.
So what does that tell you about the importance of it?
Yep.
Because literally, Indy and San Diego were 31 and 32 in rushing.
Yep.
Now, the Saints ran the ball very well. I think they were sixth in rushing. And certainly everybody knows
but
about
But they didn't
Peterson.
Have that one guy. They had Pierre.
No, but they could run the ball.
Yeah, they had Pierre Thomas, and they had a few guys.
Had a committee.
Yeah.
They had a committee, and it was a very successful one. Pierre Thomas and Reggie Bush both averaged more than 5 yards a carry.
Right. Let's see. Marvin writes in from North Carolina. Paul's absolutely right about the upcoming contracts for free agents. So does it not bother you a little bit that we made no effort to sign Dante Stallworth? Paul, don't say we don't know if we made any effort because he signs with the Ravens for next to nothing. If we had made any effort at all, you know he would have got more money. He was a good guy when he was here, got along with everybody, and he clearly knows the system, and it couldn't be worse than the Greg Lewis and Joey Galloway signings. Do you really think he can get a better receiver for what Stallworth signed with the Ravens? Just saying.
You know what's funny? Marvin?
Yeah.
I really am predictable because that's exactly what I was thinking. How do we know that we didn't make a push for Dante Stallworth? I definitely would have gone after Stallworth. We all agreed on that, even you, I think. I know Andy, Eric, and I all agreed that that's something they should be thinking about. And it didn't cost them a ton. I think it was $900,000 or something like that, plus incentives. So clearly money wasn't a problem. It didn't look like Stallworth gave many people a chance. I think he immediately, when he got reinstated, he had a couple of workouts set up and he signed. All of a sudden he was signed. Now, I don't know if the Patriots were late to that game. If they were interested in all, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question, but it's a fair thing. And I think you're right. I don't think they'll sign a guy any better than that.
Chris with the TIAN says, I've recently read that some teams, the Steelers, for example, are self-imposing a salary cap.
A lot of teams are doing that.
Are the Patriots doing the same thing? I think they are.
My guess is they will, and we'll never find out about
it. As a fan, should I expect any major upgrades to come via the draft and not free agency? From everything I read, there just seems to be so much uncertainty about the cap or lack thereof. yeah, I think, Christian, I think that is true. I think a lot of teams are putting a self-imposed budget together. Let's put it a budget together. And I think
– But I think from, the budget is basically what the salary cap would be.
Right, and that's the key, right, what you just said, Paul, because what I've been told – You know, Nick Caserio sat down with Brian Lowe recently, and one of the things he mentioned was back in 1994 when they first instituted the salary cap, they went back a year and I don't know if you want to penalize teams, but they kind of taxed teams on what they spent the prior year and what the cap would have been under the new system that they implemented. And teams are thinking that they're going to do the same thing in 2010, once they get the CBA done for 2011, they'll actually go back and say, okay, in 2010, under the system, the cap would have been this. If a team goes out and goes hog wild in 2010, they'll actually be penalized a little bit. So teams have that in the back of their mind, and, you know, you're not seeing – You know, and then, of course, the rules that are in play. Well, yeah.
No, I don't disagree with the explanation because that is what happened.
You don't think they should do that?
I think it's illegal. I don't understand how you can get away with it.
Yeah, yeah.
I really don't. I mean, if you have a year that it's uncapped, I don't know how then you can retroactively penalize teams for that.
I think.
So, in other words, if Washington goes out and goes $30 million over what the cap would have been in 2010.
Right,
you're going to give them 30 less million in cap space.
I don't know if it'll be
30.
It might be just
15.
It might be just a tax that they have to share with the lower revenue.
That's
teams.
Not fair to me.
Well, it's not fair to. I hear what you're saying, but I think that the league has come up with this common, you know, understanding that for the competitive balance, the cap is good, and not allowing teams to do what you just said is good.
But I agree with that.
Yeah.
But they've also agreed that in the event that you didn't have a CBA in place moving forward, if you got to the last year, it would be uncapped.
Right.
As part of your CBA that you agreed to.
No, I know.
But so I don't understand how you can then penalize some teams that say, finally, I'm away from these shackles. I've agreed for the better of the league. Daniel Snyder, for example, hypothetically, has said, I've agreed for the better of the league that this is the right way to do it, but finally this one year I don't have to do that. Let me see what I can do.
Right. But
he can't do that because he's going to get penalized moving forward. That's not right.
I understand that. And, you know, see, but they put so many rules in place. It's obvious that they didn't have the appetite to have a true uncapped year.
I agree.
You know, and, you know, so now you're a guy like Jerry Jones. Let's just say that they didn't have these rules and they knew going forward. So a guy like Jerry Jones or a Daniel Snyder, even now, what would be their, if they really wanted to go crazy, what would be their incentive to vote on a CBA before the
No,
you know,
I don't have a problem with the rules. I don't have a problem
with changing the rules.
I have a problem with you retroactively penalizing a person for playing within
rules. I just think that there's just too many owners that are afraid of...
Then they should have made rules.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
They did make rules.
But a lot of people think that teams that play by the rules this year will be penalized next year depending on what they spend.
Right.
Like, no, I'm not saying that Daniel Snyder should be allowed to go and get a guy who's in his fifth year and sign him as an unrestricted free agent. That's breaking the rules that are in place. He's a restricted free agent. You can't do that.
Right.
But I don't think... If there's no rule that states how much you can spend on salary in the 2010 season, I don't think you should be allowed to retroactively be penalized for that in 2011.
Right. And I think that, I kind of agree with you. But I think even if you wanted to just do that, it's still hard because of the
it's ridiculously
30%
harsh.
Rule and
but
all
that's
that.
That's further adding to my rationale is, you know, if Daniel Snyder wants to go out and sign five guys to one-year contracts for $12 million each, he should be allowed to. He won't be because in 2011 he's going to pay the piper.
Todd says, yes, Paul, I did mean our restricted free agents.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned that stuff about Mankins and Gostkowski. I think Mankins in particular is the highest priority. And I wouldn't even be stunned, by the way, Freddie, to see the Patriots maybe try to work back burner kind of guy. Not, you know, not up there with the Will Forks and the Bradys, obviously. But I think he might be a guy that's on the radar this year to get done moving forward before he ends it, because next year he'll be unrestricted no matter what.
Right.
He'll be a sixth-year guy no matter what the rules are.
We don't have any third-round picks to poach any other team's restricted free agents. I'm a little shocked Bill didn't make sure we had ammo to steal a player from another team. What do you think
we will.
George Selvey defensive end from South Florida. He reminds me of Rosie.
Andy loves him, and he's a guy, you know, we talked about Pierre Paul last show on Tuesday, and he's the guy that seems to be getting all the attention from that South Florida defense. Selvey's the guy who made all the plays, and Andy's a guy. Andy's been very high on him, and I as long as he's not here to hear it, I trust and respect Andy's opinion on that.
All right, 508-543-7482. When we come back, Steve from New Hampshire's on the phone, and he says that he's the one that says that we're the view of football.
That's right.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warmups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
All right, welcome. We're here. It is Saturday, April 26th, and finally, draft day is here. And this, of course, is PFW in Progress's draft extravaganza.
Now, Andy Hart breaks down the NFL draft.
Yep. Mendenhall.
One.
Mendenhall.
Two.
Mendenhall.
Three.
Right. Mendenhall.
Four.
Rashard Mendenhall available.
Five.
I'm going Rashard Mendenhall.
10.
Rashard Mendenhall.
17.
Arizona could get Mendenhall.
18.
Rashard Mendenhall.
23.
Pittsburgh, Mendenhall.
27.
Mendenhall, and I can root for the Steelers with Roethlisberger and Mendenhall.
29.
Lima Swede to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh Steelers. Select Rashard Mendenhall.
Sorry, but the Patriots became the second best team in the AFC right then. Mendenhall is ridiculous here.
Yeah, Eric, and you're supposed to be the gay one.
Who's on the clock?
By the way, I lost interest once Mendenhall got drafted.
Obviously, Andy doesn't agree with you about drafting those running backs in the first round. So, all right.
There's another example.
On the phone is Steve from New Hampshire, and Steve thinks that we're the view of football. Let's hear that.
I always say it this way, and honest to God, this is what you guys are. You are the view of football. It's just four guys having lunch and shooting the crap.
All right, Steve. Well, that's it. We got you on tape.
I know. The first time I heard that during one of the commercials, I died. I was like, oh, no way. Cool. But how
we,
you guys
we
doing?
Can do that. Yeah, we have the technology.
I know you do.
So and, what's up, Steve?
I missed the beginning of the show. As soon as I turned it on, I caught that little thing, whatever, talking about the view. But I was just wondering, what do you guys really think we're going to do in this draft? I mean, wild guess. I know it's a little early, but I've been thinking about it since season ended, you know, and I'm like, what does Maroney have left? 1 year?
Well,
it all depends on what he does.
I mean, does it matter? Does it really matter? Because they need a running back.
Well, because it's toward the end of his contract.
I mean, it's the last year of his contract, yes.
It is. So, I don't know, but doesn't that, in a little bit of a way, advantage-wise, if it were to want to trade him?
To trade, I mean, what are you going to get for him?
Well, trade him. He's part of me wants to dump him, but
there's a chance that I don't think it's 100% that he's on the team in 2010.
My God, that's what I was leading up to. Is I hope we go for a running back
early
in the draft.
Yeah,
First round.
I'd be very surprised at that.
Well, I know it's too early because I don't know what we're looking at for a candidate. Is there anybody that you guys have heard out there?
Well, the top running backs, I mean, the guy that we love is C.J. Spiller from Clemson. You know, and the kid from Fresno State, Ryan Matthews, gets a lot of attention as well. He's a very productive guy and been a workhorse. Fred's guy, Toby Gerhart, his touchdown machine from Stanford. There's some running backs that are highly regarded. I don't know. Maybe I'm on an island here. I don't think the running back is the problem with the Patriots. The running game isn't good. I don't think the running back is the problem. And I also don't think that I would want to invest a huge amount of resources into getting a running back. I just think that the window is too short.
I think if C.J. Spiller is available by some at 22, they might take him.
Oh, I think he will be.
Yeah. Oh, you do? Think he'll be available at 22?
Well, I mean, I don't – Andy and Eric are much more involved in all the mock drafts that have been out there, but
– yeah.
I'd be surprised, I wouldn't take him.
I look at it, if we got, and now, you know, with our, you know, let's put it this way, with our receivers aging, it's time to put that other, spotlight out there that'll give an advantage to that receiving game. And I think, I don't know, I just think it's time. It's been a while since we've had it, and I'm just hoping we go in that direction. I was praying it was going to be Fred Taylor last year, and then he got hurt. Damn. And Maroney, I gave up on him a year ago.
Yeah,
and,
I don't think a lot of Maroney.
Benefit of the doubt, I hope this is going to happen, and then it doesn't.
I'm not defending Maroney. I think that as part of a committee, I think Maroney's fine. I don't think Maroney can be the guy. I think we figured that out by now.
Yeah, I know, but it's a committee thing. We need that Darren Sproles or Reggie Bush. I know we get Kevin Falk. I love him to death, but he's getting old too. We need some dangerous guy in the backfield.
Well, I mean, they got Falk in the third round, and they can get people. So it doesn't have to be in that first day or now Kevin, it's the first 2 days.
Kevin Falk was a second round.
Was he a second round pick?
Obviously a long time ago, 1999. But he is older, and that's why we talked a little bit about Brian Westbrook at the very beginning of the show.
But he's older now too, and he's had all those injuries.
Well, he's not that old, but he's banged up, and I think that clearly he'd be a much more productive guy in the Patriots' offense if healthy.
How much more productive would he be than Falk?
Oh, I think he's light years better than Kevin Falk.
Do you really?
He's a 1,000-yard rusher, as well as doing all the things out of the backfield that Kevin Falk can do. And believe me, you're talking to one of the card-carrying members of the Kevin Falk fan club, unlike Andy Hart. Who wrote him off 3 years ago. I think Kevin Falk is terrific, but Brian Westbrook is a better player.
But you think the injury?
But the injury thing, and especially the concussions, two concussions last year,
right.
That would scare me, and that's why he's available. Let's face it, Philadelphia wouldn't have let him go if they weren't concerned about his injury past. And that would just be kind of adding another question mark to that committee with Fred Taylor and Sammy Morris and Lawrence Maroney.
All right, I got another question. Because I was thrilled to see Dave Thomas for the Saints having a good year. I always liked him a little bit, but what's the deal with Watson? Where's his contract right now?
He's a free agent.
Is he?
Yeah.
All right. Do you think we're going to go with something in that direction?
I don't think so
at all.
To re-sign Watson?
No, or get a new one.
Oh yeah, they're going to get a new tight end. Absolutely.
Yeah, they definitely will have a different tight end next year to go with Chris Baker because I don't think Benjamin Watson will be back. And I wouldn't be surprised to see one of those three second round picks used on a tight end, or maybe even I know they don't have a third rounder right now. They will have a third rounder by the time the draft rolls around. They'll either trade down with one of the second rounders or acquire one somehow, some way, because Bill doesn't like to have those kinds of holes in the middle of the draft.
I really think that with the state of the Patriots right now, they won't trade up because, they don't want to lose the quantity. I think they're going to use all these four picks in the first 55, three slots. I think they're going to use them all. I really do.
You know, I know a lot of people want to stay away from that, money-wise, because it's just the money they got to pay, you know, in the beginning is stupid.
Well, where they are, it's not a factor. Only when you're in the top 15 and really
top
the
seven.
Top 10. Yeah.
Top seven of the guys.
You know, that's when you have to worry about it. But where they are 22 and below, it's – you're not talking about huge signing bonuses and
all that.
You know, yeah, you don't have to worry about it there.
Then I think that's definitely sweet.
It's not a money thing. It's not a money thing at that point. It's, you know, okay, this guy, there's no one we think is worth it, so we're going to just pick up more picks and move down.
Right. You got to find what your value is more than
right.
worry about the check.
Right.
That's cool.
All right, Steve.
I just want to get in touch, say hi to you guys. I miss you. I never miss you, but, just want to say hi.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Steve, in New Hampshire. Hey, speaking of C.J. Spiller, Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk reports that he is choosing to run at the Combine. A lot of these guys don't run, but he is going
especially
to.
Especially high-end speed guys.
Yeah.
A lot don't
because
run.
I choose
and he is one.
Depending on Spiller's numbers, he might then choose not to run at his pro day workout. So we'll
because
see.
Because I choose not
you know,
to
if he gets
run.
What result that he likes, he might just stick with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not screw it up.
He's a very interesting player, and I think, and Andy and I have been banging this drum for a long time now, I think he is the kind of guy that is going to become the prototype in the NFL. This smaller, faster, home run hitting type, versatile, can come out of the Chris Johnson types that can sort of do different things out of spread formations and give you that threat of the home run.
Right. The guy that can make the first guy miss.
Yeah. You know, you get in space, and all of a sudden, you have your smaller personnel on the field defensively, and you get caught, and, you know, he breaks through, and all of a sudden, you're looking at, instead of an 8-yard draw, it's an 80-yard run for a touchdown. He, I think, is the kind of guy with that kind of home run capability. We saw Chris Johnson do it last year to the tune of 2,000 yards, and not necessarily, taking 400 carries. He can't do that. C.J. Spiller can't do it. He's too small.
Yeah,
you can't give him the ball 30 times a game. It won't work. But if you can give it to him 12, 15 times a game, I think there's a good chance that you might be able to find him in the end zone before the game's over.
Sean in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, quick show question and a topic for you to discuss. Any chance you will start taking text messages for responses? Just curious. Still love that this is an email show like it was designed to be back in the old Walpole studios.
That's a big thing now, Freddie.
Yeah, the texting.
The texting has become a big thing.
It is, but it's more like you're reading Twitter things. You know.
I think he answered his own question. We have the email, whereas a lot of the other shows, they have the emails, but they don't really read a lot of them.
Right.
But they're caller driven.
Yeah,
we're email driven. So now you're talking about emails and texts.
Yeah,
you really need
the
both.
The thing about this is radio was really designed for the car. That's how it works these days. But our show was designed for people at work to listen while they're working. So it's tough to make calls. So it's, you know, you can fool the boss and be sending us emails.
Hey, you know what I did find out yesterday, sort of on the topic of these kinds of shows?
I wasn't finished with his email, but that's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Finish the email.
You have a point? You want to?
Well, just kind of about these shows.
Yeah.
I found it interesting. The Orlando Magic do a show similar to ours. It's an online radio show that we do.
Yeah.
It's hosted by two guys. One of them is the PR director. So basically it would be Stacey James and somebody else. And evidently, the guy is like the laugh riot of the league. They think he's like this real biting sarcasm personality, not afraid to like rip the magic, and he's very very edgy and outgoing, but very funny. He does it in a comical way. He doesn't offend.
Right.
So I guess we're out because Andy didn't offend too many people. But I just found that very interesting, the dynamic of a PR guy having a radio show.
That's cool.
Maybe Stacey will do a show.
Now, where'd you find that out?
Well, Greg Dickerson was on the big show with me yesterday, who's obviously tapped into the Celtics and the NBA. And
now, something for you to discuss. Belichick says he does not mind when people challenge him. So how much do you think Floyd Reese debates him?
I never said that.
More or less than Scott Pioli? And do you think it's more valuable in the franchise? Who do you think is more valuable in the franchise, Nick Caserio or Reese?
Look, totally different jobs.
Yeah,
Floyd Reese handles contracts. I think Nick Caserio handles player personnel.
I would doubt that Reese debates Belichick more than Pioli. That's just a no.
Well, it's contracts. I don't think he's even involved.
Yeah, right.
Casario might debate him.
Even then,
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I think Pioli was with him longer, and I just think it's natural to think that Pioli would probably have questioned more than Belichick. But I don't really think there was a lot of questioning going on then either. I think I almost said Parcells. I think Belichick was the guy.
But don't you think Nick kind of has a leg up also to be able to debate, seeing as how he coaches also?
Maybe.
I mean, do you think he could say, I really think we need to develop another receiver. This guy looks good.
Well, yeah, but I think that the fact that he's coaching limits his knowledge of those guys that look good because he's not out there scouting all year. He's coaching. I think that kind of hurts him a little bit.
Yeah, it depends on what the debate is about. If it's about the current personnel, he might have more.
So he has no problem if they're debating about, the economy.
Right.
But if they're talking about football, shut up and let me do the thinking.
That's right.
Okay.
Best wishes to Mosey and his family. Enjoyed his play in the 80s, especially knew we were going to the Super Bowl when he scored that TD in the AFC title game. So
that put the game away, Freddie.
Yep.
Put the game away. Big moment in Patriots history.
Killian from Ireland. Huge fan of the show, been listening for the last year now, and I love it. Never miss a show. You guys really crack me up. Anyway, on to football in the draft. Is there any chance with all the picks we have this year and Oakland's first next year, any chance of us trading up? Because I think it's a real possibility. What are your views of this? And also, I'm thinking of going back to Gillette Stadium this year. I've been to 3 games, the Rams and Colts in 08, in the London game in 09. What game do you think will be the best home game of next season? Indy's coming here. And my vote for the draft is to do a live show Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Well, not Sunday. Sunday is...
it will be Thursday, Friday,
Thursday,
Saturday.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, because Sunday, there's nothing. A draft. Starts on Thursday this year.
Right.
Yeah, we still have to figure that out because I've got a lot of people who are saying we have to do it every day.
I have no problem with that.
So
I like doing the show.
We'll see.
It's the writing I don't like.
It's your chosen profession, Paul.
Such a media whore.
Yeah, had I realized that sports talk radio was going to take off the way it did when I was in college, Freddie, it wouldn't have been my chosen profession.
Going to that Connecticut School of Broadcasting.
No, I would have stayed right the same school I was, but I would have taken more advantage of different opportunities.
Who's that guy, John Robinson?
Dick Robinson. Have you ever find yourself in front of the radio just going saying play-by-play along?
So that's the way I sound when I finish your school? Thank you, no.
Yeah.
let's see. Kamani writes in, I hate ESPN, he starts. I stopped watching SportsCenter about 3 years ago. I'll watch a game, but I will never watch one of their self-produced shows. Why? Because there's a lot of thought policing going on over there. They claim to be a sports news agency, but what they really are is a sports promotion agency. Oftentimes, they will bury stories that are critical of the stories they promote, of the sports they promote. Now they are openly hostile to their talent if they have a kind of irreverent opinion. In a statement, Executive Vice President for ESPN John Skipper said, Tony Kornheiser's comments about Hannah Storm were entirely inappropriate. Did you hear about this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Kornheiser got suspended for a couple weeks for making fun of Hannah Storm's outfit. Kornheiser said, Hannah Storm is in a horrifying, horrifying outfit today. She's got on red go-go boots and a Catholic school plaid skirt, way too short for somebody in her 40s or maybe early 50s by now. She's got on her typically very, very tight shirt. She looks like she has sausage casing wrapping around her body. I know she's very good, and I'm not supposed to be critical of ESPN people, so I won't. But Hannah Storm, come on now, stop. What are you doing? She's what I would call a Holden Caulfield fantasy at that point.
Yeah!
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that if it wasn't someone he worked with in the same company, I think it would be okay.
Really? I'm a little surprised to hear you say. I thought for sure you would have been wholeheartedly supportive of the suspension.
No.
Because you always are offended.
I think you shouldn't be criticizing your co-employees.
So that's the only problem that you had with it?
Yeah. I think we criticize male sportscasters the way they look. I think we criticize female sportscasters the way they look.
So okay. All right.
I think that's fair game.
It's fair what you said is fair.
Yeah.
I as you know, I'm not offended by anything.
Right.
Every time one of these things come up, I generally don't understand I don't think he should have been suspended for 2 weeks. Originally, the first thing I heard was 3 days. And I think that was very appropriate. I think he should have been suspended for that. And not just because it was someone that he worked with. It was a colleague. And I think especially the last part, the Holden Caulfield part, don't tell me there's not a sexual connotation to what he was talking about. And, you know, I was on yesterday, and we got into it a little bit early in the show. They all, you know, it's guy radio. What's the big deal? And for some reason, it's okay because this is what Tony Kornheiser does.
Right.
I mean, if you had the head of the KKK on and he was making all kinds of racial remarks, would that be okay because that's what that guy does?
Right.
He's a grand dragon?
Right.
I mean, and I'm not comparing racism to
what
admittedly were very harmless comments about Hannah Storm, but there was a sexual connotation. I mean, the go-go boots,
and
the short plaid skirt,
and the
Holden Caulfield comment. We all know what the J.D. Salinger Catcher in the Rye reference is there.
Right.
That's what he's talking about.
Right.
Now, was it funny? Yeah. Does every red-blooded American know what Hannah Storm wears every day? Yes, I do. I've noticed it, and I like it. I think she looks great. But I don't think you can say that. I don't think that's okay.
Well, I think
to say whether she works for your organization or not, I don't think that's okay to say.
Yeah.
And I'm not offended by anything. You know that.
But you always talk about the hot sportscasters.
That's different.
That's a common topic on sports radio, you know. But I think that, you know, when it's one of your co-employees, now you're really.
But don't you think it's different to say, she's, you know, Hannah Storm's looking great again today, as opposed to breaking down her outfit and saying what you want to do?
Oh.
That Holden Caulfield, what do you think he's talking about?
I know, but
there's a difference there between just saying she looks great again today in one of those tight sweaters and short skirts. That's fine.
Yeah.
You're taking it to a level. I mean, first of all, go-go boots. What do you think he means by go-go boots?
Oh, you know.
She's on the corner.
Yeah.
He might as well be saying. You know, she's dressed like a whore. That's what he might as well be saying.
Right.
And then he takes you right there at the end with the Holden Caulfield reference.
Right.
But I was evidently the only person who didn't think he should, thought he should have been suspended.
No,
I was just the one voice in the wilderness.
I do for a different reason, though. Just because she was a fellow employee.
And you know what's funny, too? Yeah. I don't know if you heard the rest of that, because most of them that I read just had the part that you read. There was also a reference to Berman in there later.
Oh, yeah.
Where he said, you know, and some guys, you know, like some of these guys at this station that lost 60 pounds and, you know, for promotional considerations and
right.
then put it all back on.
Right.
And then his sidekick, who I don't even know who it was, goes, yeah, put it all back. So clearly they were talking about Berman. A lot of people think that's why he got in trouble.
Oh, really?
Because evidently Kornheiser and Hannah Storm have a good relationship. And I don't think that Hannah Storm would be offended by this. I think she probably took it.
Right.
You know, and Dan Hicks, who's Hannah Storm's wife, thought it was funny and whatever.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he got suspended for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So you know how these things work. No one probably said anything for 3 days, and all of a sudden, they started getting emails from sponsors
Plus,
and stuff, and some special interest group came called
right.
in.
It's tough, you know, because like we sit here and we make fun of each other's appearance all the time. But if there was
different.
A woman on here, we'd have to be a little bit
careful. I wouldn't
careful.
Be making fun of Christina's appearance if she was on with us.
Nothing wrong with her appearance.
Well, I mean, I
know what you're saying.
But I wouldn't be commenting on her attire.
Right, right.
In that kind of description.
Right,
you know,
right, right.
I just think there was a little bit of a difference there. And again, you know me. I'm not offended by this nonsense to be, as a rule.
Yeah.
But I think that it was clear what he was saying there. And I don't think that he meant it maliciously. His apology the next day, he said, look at me. I'm a troll.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, she's beautiful. I'm a troll. What, you know?
Yeah. But, okay, let me put it this way, though. If he was working for EEI.
I don't think you should be allowed to say that.
Really?
I don't. I think you can say what she's wearing and how you think she's hot. We comment on Erin Andrews all the time.
Right.
We all think she's beautiful.
Right.
But I don't say that I want to, you know, pull a Holden Caulfield when
Why
I
not?
Watch her because I think it's inappropriate.
It might be inappropriate, but you'd be.
Well, that's what he got suspended for, being inappropriate.
Okay. All right.
That's exactly the word that guy just
used.
So
if he had left off the Holden Caulfield, would you have suspended him? Tougher call?
Listen, I think it would be a better world if you didn't get suspended for things like that. But clearly that's the world we're in.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I can understand the PC police being up in arms on this one. Normally, I think they're out in left field.
Yeah.
But this one, I can understand.
Let's see. Matt says, is Paul all alone today? Thanks a lot. Well, if he is, he's sure doing a hell of a job. Anyway, two things real quick. First, I think you guys are highly underestimating the popularity of the Combine from a fan's perspective. I personally would love to go and see these guys do what they do. As a former college athlete, remember, this is Matt from Oregon. He's
Just so you know, you can't go and see what they do.
No. As a former college athlete, I've done millions of cones, drills, sprints, jumps, whatever. And to go see these guys do the same stuff at such an elite level would be really cool. And I'm not alone in this opinion either. There are millions of us out there who watch all the YouTube videos and such of these guys doing their stuff, a la Brian Cushing's box jumps at DeFranco's gym. Seriously, to be able to do Andy or Eric's job at the Combine would be a ton of fun for guys like me.
Andy and Eric can't watch all that.
Yeah, they don't get
NFL Network are the only ones that can watch it.
Yeah, they don't get to go into actually when they're doing this stuff. second,
one.
A quick question. Is
and number two, you're in the minority, Matt, because no one wants to watch people run around in their underwear doing nothing.
Second, a quick question. Is New England still as desirable a place to go for free agents? I personally don't think so. Comments like Randy Moss's about not paying players who perform for them is a big part of why that is.
Well, I suppose there's some truth to that. I don't. Listen, I think the allure of coming to New England has always been, under Belichick, the ability to win, the ability to get the best chance possible to wind up in the Super Bowl. I don't think it's ever been to cash in. So now that they haven't been to the Super Bowl as often, you know, and the last 2 years they haven't won a playoff game, I could understand people saying, well, why would I go there and take a million less than I could take somewhere else? They don't give me any better shot to go to the Super Bowl than anybody else does.
Right. I think at the end of the day, you know, some of these players, not all, who said, oh, I took less to go with the Patriots, weren't taking a lot less.
Right. I agree with you. I think if it's a lot less, they're not coming.
Yeah. And I think what Randy Moss said, and Robert Kraft actually addressed it yesterday. He said, look, Randy's a smart guy. He's positioning himself. Yeah, he probably won't be re-signed here. But at the end of the day, in the last 2 years, he's made about $20 million. So he's been paid. There's no doubt about that. And I think that, you know, he's positioning himself for next year when he will be a free agent. And, you know, he's putting himself on the market now, a little early, getting people thinking about him, you know, and also saying that I'm going to want to get paid in the same breath. So, I saw the clip afterwards. There was no hard feeling. It wasn't one of those, you know, and he even said it. I have no hard feeling. I respect the team. I love the team, blah, blah, blah. Who knows? He could be back. You never know. Probably not if he's really looking for a lot of money. And that's what I think he means, what he's saying, is that I'm going to be looking for another big contract next year, and I don't think the Patriots are going to give it to me. He's right. I don't think they will either.
Yeah, and I do think that that's what he was talking about. And I think the important thing to keep in mind is he said specifically, I did get paid. He didn't say, right. I was one of the few, but he did say, I already got paid.
Right.
He called it a blessing.
Yeah.
So people that have used that, I think, have missing the point.
Yeah. Kamani says, who the hell is Holden Caulfield? Didn't you take English in high school?
You know, catcher in the Rye.
Catcher in the Rye.
Clearly, he's not a friend of Eric's.
Do a Google of The Catcher in the Rye by J.D. Salinger, and you'll be able to tell what we're talking
about. Who died
about,
recently, about a month ago.
Yeah.
J.D. But it's one of those books that every high school kid reads. Did you read it, Jason, when you were skiing?
No.
No? You never read Catcher in the Rye?
Probably did in high school, but I don't remember.
See, I never read it either.
Really?
But I know the book.
No.
Much like every other book that's been printed, I was probably supposed to have read it at some point, but didn't.
Yeah, you weren't a big reader.
No.
I may have read the Cliff Notes.
It's worth
I'm
reading.
A moron.
It's a quick
you
read.
You can save that one.
It's not a long. It's not one of those, you know, War of the Worlds novel. Not. Excuse me. Wow, that Greek salad just came up.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah,
that's good.
No,
I'm glad that the readers got to share that with
it's
you.
A quick
or
read.
The listeners.
It's a quick read.
The readers.
Oh, by the way,
I'm a newspaper guy.
I
thought you were a sports talk radio guy.
I'm a wannabe sports talk radio guy.
I haven't seen the movie, but I decided to read the book, Shutter Island. Dennis Lehane.
Don't spoil the ending for me because I will try to see that.
Excellent.
At some point.
Excellent. I don't know what the movie ending's like. But
supposedly that's the huge thing is it's a big surprise hook at the end.
Oh, really?
I
so it's a little different than the book?
Oh, okay. Well, maybe not.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's
if the book doesn't have a big surprise ending.
It does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it's a great book.
But like most people, I'm like most people. I haven't read the book.
What's this?
I don't know.
Michael writes in.
Michael Ryder?
Let's see. Where's Michael from? Michael's from Kennebunk. And he writes in about a new HGH test
that
the NFL is taking on.
Well, there was a British rugby player. We probably should have talked about that. Wow, you really lost your fastball when you're busy with stuff.
Well, I'm swamped.
British rugby player. It's right up your alley. I figured you were all over this story.
Yeah.
I figured you knew who the guy was. Tested positive for HGH. And evidently it's the first guy ever to really be caught through testing.
Through testing.
Now there's a big-time movement afoot for the professional sports leagues to implement this testing. Major League Baseball is talking about it. The NFL has been approached, and obviously the union's going to balk at that. But
sure. It's
one of those things. Florio wrote about it, I think, yesterday, saying how it'll be a good test for the players because if they really want to get cheating out and then they vote against this, you know, supposedly intrusive test, then they're hypocritical.
Well, even though, you know, I agree with that, but I think it would be only fair that you start testing for it, but there's like a 3-year grace period until you kind of figure out how accurate, because this is a whole new thing, how accurate the tests are. And so, like, if you get caught within a certain amount of time, you get grandfathered. The test goes on your record, but you don't get suspended or anything until we can figure out how accurate these HGH tests are.
Well, I think the thing with the test is not necessarily the accuracy, but it's a blood test. That's
right. Why
the testing isn't
it's invasive.
Widespread.
Yeah.
It's not just a urine test.
Anyway, Michael says, any thoughts on whether the new HGH test will level things out in the NFL, possibly even help the Pats? Okay, so now here, Pats fan, assuming that the Patriots aren't taking it, but everybody else is.
It won't help the
Pats.
Don't
go there.
And it won't help any of the other 31 teams.
Yeah. My theory has been that since Rodney was caught using HGH, Belichick and Mr. Kraft have sent a message that there will be no more Patriots getting caught with performance-enhancing drugs.
That's a very, very bad, unsound theory.
Right. I do not think there was much clean living on other teams this year, but an HGH test might even... Look, if you think that all the other teams...
Even Fred's offended by that.
Yeah, no. They're all doing it. I'm sorry. I'm right here. They don't test for HGH. There are doctors out there who pontificate on the benefits of HGH.
Right.
These guys... with the money, are taking it. I'm telling you.
Ernest Graham, running back for Tampa Bay, estimated that 30% of the league was on HGH, and then a lot of people commented on that by saying that he was only about 70% off. So,
yeah, they're all doing it. And that's why I think you might need a grace period, too, because once you make it legal, I don't know how long this stuff stays in your system.
I think you're right about the grace period to let people sort of
wean
themselves
off of it. Right. Yeah, so, no, HGH is rampant. It's rampant because they don't test for it. And by the way, once they start testing for it, something else will come up. So, I mean, we're in the age of pharmacology.
And the chemists are ahead of the tests.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So they'll come up with something before they start testing for the next
thing. We medicate everything. Kids can't learn in school, give them a pill.
Ritalin.
You know, you're upset at work, you're depressed. Give them a pill. Everything
really?
Is
Really? What do you have for that?
Yeah. Everything it's we're in the age of pharmacology. You look at the drug pharmaceutical ads on TV. My God, they support half the shows on the networks right now. You know, they're the ones spending all the money. There's big money in pills. And so I guarantee you, as soon as they
lick...
There's
a good one right there for Freddie. There's big money in pills.
Yeah. As soon as they lick HGH, something else will come up. So.
Freddie, another big old man hoop game tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How'd you do last week?
We're looking to go 4-0.
Oh, really?
The blue team.
So it's actually a game? Because the way we used to do is just pick up.
Well, no, this is a league that they have at the...
Oh, it's a real
local
league.
Y.
Real
it's four
league.
Teams.
Four teams.
Yeah, it's like six guys, seven
so
guys.
So you play, a 20-minute game, half-an-hour game?
40 minutes. Game. Two 20-minute halves.
You have refs?
There's one ref.
Just one ref?
Yeah.
Is he any good?
No, but he does. He does the job.
It's a tough sport.
He's down there. He's probably not making what he could be making at a high school game.
You don't call it yourself.
No, no. You know, and you can't do that because it gets too competitive.
Really?
Yeah.
You get a lot of glory day guys.
There's not really a lot of that, but everybody wants to win. So you get halfway through the second half of a close game, and all of a sudden the guy ain't going to call a foul.
Right. Right.
You know. So, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a big game last week. I had 8 last week.
8 points. Good.
Yeah, big. It was an explosion for me. Probably my highest point total of the 21st
century. Explosion. How many points did you score?
Leave Eric out of this.
Very excited about basketball, Paul.
Old man basketball.
I love playing basketball. Isn't that a great sport to play?
Well, I'm so fat and out of shape. I need to do something. And I despise all of the things that you need to do.
Right.
The bikes and the treadmills and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it. Yeah. But I will go and play pickup basketball.
I hear what you're saying.
And if I had an opportunity to play 2 or 3 times a week,
right,
I would.
I love doing things with a purpose. Like a game where there's like some thing that I'm doing trying to win. But just running for running, I'm with you.
I can't do it.
I agree. You know?
And that's why I'm so out of shape.
Yeah, I hear you.
Because my whole life, all I did was play sports. And that's why, I mean, I'm sure that I had these terrible eating habits my whole life.
Right.
But I was always playing a sport, no matter what the season was.
Yeah, that's why I love downhill racing.
And that's why I didn't really start getting overweight until my late 20s, when I stopped playing organized sports.
Yeah. Yeah. Dave and Storrs, it's been quite a long time. Andy, I must admit that you called it with Jordan Todman. Do you think he's primed to have an even bigger year next season? And do you see him as a viable NFL prospect if he keeps his performances up?
He is a viable NFL prospect. He's already starting to get on the radar of some of those draft sites that look ahead at future drafts. And just for a little update, Freddie, I don't know if you're still going to blow us off and not be interested in hanging out with us on our reindeer games, but I think Andy, Eric, and I are going to be part of a small contingent that's going to go out to Ann Arbor, Michigan in early September to watch UConn play at Michigan.
Yeah, I heard about that. I won't be there.
We're going to take an RV.
Yep.
Doc, you want to come?
Oh, boy.
Maybe. I would do that.
I'm not sure you're...
You're actually going to be in...
I'm probably not.
You're going to actually take an RV with Andy's intestinal problems?
It's definitely a concern.
Yeah, I would think
definitely
so.
A concern. He actually missed a day of work this week for his intestinal
I know he
concerns.
Did. He calls me up Monday morning. Fred, I've been up all night with diarrhea. You know, most people, they have diarrhea. They deal with it.
Most people...
You make a couple extra stops in the bathroom.
Most people make that call to Fred, and Fred immediately starts making fun of them.
Yeah,
Fred simply hung up the phone and said, okay, we'll see you Tuesday.
How come you didn't send me that voicemail?
You know what? I should have.
That would have been funny to play on the
air.
Oh,
you know what, Doc? I wasn't thinking
that's
of it.
That's why I always email
him. You're right.
I always email Freddie.
I got to start thinking that way. Never delete an email like that. I hear you. Okay. Next time I'll remember, but don't tell him I'm doing that, you know.
Right.
He calls a lot.
See, I always email him.
How long is the RV ride from here to Michigan?
I don't know.
Too long.
Because I could tell you, riding back in an RV with 2 other guys after Super Bowl 39, not a fun experience.
Why did you ride back from Super Bowl 39 in an RV?
Because we had the Patriots RV down there to hawk credit cards.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
In the Fan Fest area. And me and 2 other guys.
Who went? Who was that?
Driving down, it was Matt Quinn, Matt Wolf, and John Fader. And coming back, it was Matt Wolf, John Fader, and I, because Quinny had to go out to the Pro Bowl as Pat Patriot.
I thought you were going to say he was arrested.
Quinny went to the Pro Bowl as Matt
Patriot? Yeah, I remember that year.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I tell you, there really is going on over in that marketing department.
We made it back from Jacksonville in 2.5 days. Oh, miserable experience.
Wow, that's a long time, too. Especially when you got a bunch of guys, you can share the driving. You can do it in a day and a half.
Right. Were you guys going backwards?
Oh, we needed to sleep, too. And
well, you sleep when you're not driving.
One guy drives and the other two sleep, and then you take like 8-hour shifts.
Most of us were still in detox from being at the Super Bowl.
Well, therein lies the problem. Yeah. You guys can't handle your alcohol, which is not surprising in that department.
All right.
Listen, mister, I was going to go drink. I believe I invited you out a couple times, and you blew me off this year on the road.
No, that's quite untrue. Fred, what do I do on the road?
We have beers. We go and have beers.
And we don't venture outside our circle.
Right, we don't
far. It's me, Fred, Eric, and Andy.
You go on the marketing tab, so you're going out to fancy restaurants and, you know, getting chauffeured around and all that stuff. We're slumming it.
I invited you guys.
Except when I big time them.
Yeah, every once in a while, usually once or twice a year, Fred either has to do something or he just big times us. In which case, it's just Eric, Andy, and I. But we hit the closest sports bar, and we have as many buffalo wings, burgers, and Miller Lights as
we can.
Even
B-Lo doesn't really like to go with them because
B-Lo only does every other trip usually because he big times us.
Yeah, it's not exciting enough.
I could see B-Lo doing that.
Yeah,
he big times us, no question. He's a TV guy.
You know, I think
he wears the jeans with the dress shirts untucked.
He likes to go places where he where he might have a chance to pick up a girl. You know, that option might
he's
be
spoken for nowadays.
Oh, that's right. He's got the girlfriend.
Lovely girlfriend.
Are they engaged?
I don't think they're engaged.
Not yet.
But
I don't think so.
We met her extensively in London. She spent a lot of time with us in the VIP area.
Is this why Christina Acker left? Because she had no shot with B-Lo?
Probably. Yeah. Probably.
I guess you could speculate.
So is she coming back? Has she found anything yet?
I think she's got a couple leads down south.
Down south. So she didn't go to L.A.? What?
Nothing.
What's going on? Am I venturing into territory?
No, Andy's not here.
Oh, okay.
I actually saw, where did I see? Friday.
She was here last week.
She was here Friday.
Oh, she was?
Yeah.
Nobody called me.
She made an appearance on Boston Sports Talk Radio last week.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah, she was on 98.5 The Sports Hub on the DA show talking about sports journalism.
Was she live in the studio? Ooh, that must have been a treat for DA.
Beauty and the Beast.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Thanks for
even though you have 3 minutes.
No, I have 1:59 and change on my
first
computer.
Of all, we didn't even get on the air until like 12:15.
All right. Anyway, that's going to do it. Now, your homework assignment for Friday and the weekend is to stay logged on to Patriots.com and check out everything that Andy and Eric is offering. They're doing it for you. It's a labor of love.
Check it out.
They'll be back Tuesday, and so will we. See you next Tuesday.
Check it out. Check it out.